everyone, all of our listeners in America and all around the world. You're listening to yet another exciting episode of Let's Weekend. I, of course, am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and joining me as always is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Logie. Say hi, guys.
Good day.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. So this show is going to be for March 12th, 2019. April 12th, right.
Yeah.
April 12th, March. Of course it's April because it's gone between, you know, either raining nonstop or clogging my sinuses with plant bukkake. So.
Oh my God. Did you guys see that video of the pollen cloud where they felled a tree in Texas?
Oh God, I see that shit on the reg. Okay.
It made me need your Tech D watching it.
Yeah, look, let me put it this way. It got so thick over here that when we finally got rain and, you know, it all washed down the gutters, it looked like our house was throwing up candy corn. I mean, cream corn.
The stuff that sticks to your car and then it bakes on in the sun. Oh.
Yeah, it is nasty.
Yeah.
Not
but bad. Yeah, but I mean, I've had to deal with that shit all my life, so.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's just normal. To other people, it's the goddamn apocalypse. Anyway, today on this show, we're going to be talking about the usual Trump shenanigans. He recently let go his head of the Department of Homeland Security. Also, he's got this, I guess you can call it a population bomb strategy that he wants to use against Democratic districts. Some poor woman in Taiwan found out that her eye was infested with bugs.
Nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Israel's space program is not on the best start. and Burger King is testing a meat-free Whopper.
I heard about that.
And we'll get to all that. Oh, yeah, and a Star Wars or two is happening right now, specifically the Star Wars celebration. Some of that you're going to hear us also talk about on a Day Zero update because there's one or two really big announcements that came out of that. Specifically, we're going to be getting the final official reveal of the Respawn Star Wars game tomorrow.
Yep.
Ah.
That will be something to see.
Called Star Wars Fallen Jedi.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a little more fanfare than when it was announced by Vince Zampella sitting in the crowd at E3 just like, hey, we're working on this thing, I guess.
Yeah, and recently he had like a thing he did on stage and he said, it's a single-player story-driven game with no microtransactions. And
the crowd went wild.
Crowd went crazy. And of course, we got a bunch of other trailers, including we finally got the proper trailer for the Lion King remake. And let's just say put your cynicism at the door because I watched that and I was like, fuck, I'm going to have to go see this now.
Yeah, like the complaints I've seen is like, it's not cartoonish. Like, well, no shit.
No shit, Sherlock.
That's what Disney's doing with these.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. Yeah.
Little odd, but it seems to be working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only issue seems to be is that some people don't think that they made Scar distinct enough. But we'll get to that later. So before we get into the actual show, I kind of need to offer a bit of an update and a bit of an apology. So last week, we actually were recording a show. And we had one major issue, which was the fact that, well, Coconut, you know, my cockatoo decided to get all talkative, and that made it kind of hard for it meant that was so much editing fun for Phil to deal with. And then Mike, who's family friend of the family, him and my parents went out to eat, and then he decided to come into this room and visit Coconut, and that got Coconut to get all noisy, and then my parents walked in, and then, well, let's just say it's very obvious you can hear them in the background.
No, you can't because I didn't release that show.
Yeah, no, you can't. But Phil could, yeah. And we could. Mm. And then they decided to go outside, outside into the night. And that is when Toby, our Sheltie, bolted off into the darkness. And we have not seen him since. Mm. Yeah. That was not the best weekend I've ever had. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
But before anybody feels too bad, we're already – it's been about a week now, and we're already discussing getting a new dog now.
Talk to Mom. He's fostering two puppies right now.
Yeah. Mom suggested we get another Sheltie. I actually suggested we get a Corgi.
Corgis are cool.
Yeah. Oh,
Corgis and Shelties are pretty much the exact same in temperament. Incredibly smart, very curious, desperately wants your attention, and basically every single thing it does is cute. So, but
you can name it Ein.
Yeah, I'll name it Ein.
I'm pretty sure that's the name of about 70% of all corgis at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the queens is probably named Ein.
Hmm.
Yeah.
They've all passed on, the queens to corgis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is, don't feel bad. The mourning period's over. We've moved on. And we're getting ready to invite another dog into our family. And on the off chance that Toby actually does show up again and comes back, well, then that means we'll have two dogs.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, that's not so bad either.
Not
you tell
all.
Him it's a threat. It's like, next time you go, this is your replacement.
Yeah.
And he'll show up, see the other dog. What the fuck is this shit?
I was only gone for 1 week, you assholes.
You didn't put in your vacation request. We already started placing you.
But anyway, that's the reason why we didn't have a show last week, and also the reason I didn't show up on day zero. So, sorry about that. And that's that. So,
I say life happens.
Life happens, and
so does shit.
Yeah. So does shit, yeah. Anyway, so with all of that serious shit out of the way, now we got to start off the show as we always do. Phil, what have you been up to in that quickly warming place you call Canada?
I'm still listening to Peter F. Hamilton's Salvation.
Uh-huh.
About three quarters of the way through, and he is in no hurry to tell this story at all.
he never is he?
No. Which I kind of appreciate, because it's like it's helping me put events into place, because he's not telling them chronologically. So it's kind of like, oh, well, this happened. And then he tells about something else that happened before that. And I was like, oh, okay, I got to slip that over there. And then, okay, now this is starting to make sense. So there's apparently some twist at the end, like there usually is in a Peter F. Hamilton novel. So I'm waiting for that. I got about 5 or so hours left in the audiobook, and once I finish that, I'll be moving on to Brandon Sanderson's new one, Skyward.
I forgot about that. Yeah, he's got a science fiction trilogy he's working on, and the first one came out, I think it was a couple months ago?
Yeah, I think it was like September or October. It was late last year.
Yeah. By the way, other fun little Brandon Sanderson news. You guys may have heard of me talk about this guy. I was a guy by the name of Peter O'Roulian.
Mm-hmm.
He's a singer who is in a couple of power metal bands. He's currently like the singer for Fifth Angel.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also a novelist. He's written a couple of fantasy novels and short stories that I've talked about and praised. You may also know that he was the guy who teamed up with the guys from Dream Theater to novelize The Astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he recently announced that he's doing a project with Brandon Sanderson, and that they're teaming up on a book series. So be looking for that in the future.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I swear, but Brandon Sanderson never takes a fucking vacation, does he?
No, he doesn't. He's also now got an underground writing bunker. I'm not kidding. He actually does. It's like, I don't know why, but he decided to build his office underground for some reason. I guess he liked the evil mad scientist vibe, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because he's Mormon.
He just decided too many people know where he lives.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'll be listening to that, and I expect it's probably going to be pretty good. And hopefully there'll be, well, he's already started, he's got his notes and stuff together for the fourth Stormlight book, but I don't think we're going to see that this year.
Or the next year, for that rate.
Well, possibly.
Those books are long, and they take time.
Yeah, and given how that Oathbringer was kind of a clusterfuck in some places, mm-hmm. Maybe he might want to take a little bit of extra time with the next one.
Yeah.
Because, why? Yeah, that one, it was a little rough at points, but yeah.
It didn't go down smooth.
No, it didn't go down smooth, and he's gone full anime at this point, so... Yeah, this is getting weird, and I have trepidation for the next one, but on the other hand, I'm like, this was actually kind of awesome.
The thing is,
maybe
all the
less Blaze Blue.
Yeah, there are only 3 Stormlight archive books so far, and every one of them are about as long as the Bible and about as complicated.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're so good. Anyways, so there's
all right.
I'm not quite done yet, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Apart from that, mostly the same stuff that I've been doing this year, the last week, you know, Doom and stuff. And, of course, rediscovering my love for Electra City after losing it for, 8 hours over on Monday, which was it's like I'm sleeping, and then my UPS goes off. God damn it. So I go over and I look at it. I'm like, okay, I got my computer still on, but I have no power. So I just shut it down and do whatever. And I get up the next morning and I still have no power. So we keep on waiting and waiting and waiting. And then the utilities truck gets here. They turn it on. It's like, all right, good. But my heaters don't work because the 240 volt line doesn't work. So they send it. So they're on their way here, and then we hear crash, and the power lines have fallen down off of the post. So that's nice.
Well, how did that develop?
It was like freezing rain the entire day.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they drove the truck into it.
Yeah.
No, it sounds like what happened is the moisture piled up on the lines, and they just snapped under the weight.
Yeah. Well, I brought them down. So then they get here and they start fixing it up, and they get all the lines sorted out and untangled and the way they're supposed to be, and then they turn the power back on, and the transformer immediately explodes. So that was fun.
Was that Wednesday?
Yeah. I think it was Wednesday.
Okay.
That was the explosion I was talking about. So the utilities guys were not happy after that.
Oh, man.
So
the paycheck's going to be good.
Yeah, right.
They spent, I think
they're
it was, we were out for about 8 or so hours, and they were here in front of the apartment for a good 3 or 4 of those. They basically had to redo all of the lines because the foreman was basically thinking there was probably a short in there somewhere. If you turn the power back on and thing goes boom, probably not a good idea to keep those lines the way they are. But they got it sorted out, and electricity is great, and explosions are kind of fun too.
See, at least, so what's the longest you've ever gone without power?
I think it was during the ice storm of 98, and that was about 4 days.
Yeah, try about a week.
Yeah.
That happened to us in 2017.
Hmm. Yeah.
After that tropical storm came through. And
yeah.
God, I think back in maybe 90, 91, there was a big ice storm that went through when I was in Kentucky, and we were without it for, it was well over a week. And we were using kerosene heat, which, I mean, wasn't. It was very stinky, but it wasn't all that different from the heater that we had in the house, which is this big thing in the floor that, you know, it's just this big electric element.
Yeah.
And it's called a floor heater.
Mm-hmm.
And you do not step on that grate.
Yeah, but see, what you consider to be a winter storm is what, you know, Bill's people consider just another weekend.
Oh, yeah. Well, so you guys probably don't get ice storms very often.
No, we did. Well,
down there, Brandon, maybe you might be.
We've gotten them on occasion. It's just, but it's not anything to the degree of it knocking out the power. Usually the worst we ever had was it just covered the roads with black ice.
Yeah.
So like my dad had to, you know, we actually went out to eat that night. and the reason was because my dad had a put chains on his tires. Yep. So, you know, you have never seen, you know, I-75 look so barren.
Yeah.
So. All right, but anyway, so Pat, what about you?
I'm not sure if I mentioned it on the Day Zero update, but basically over last weekend I had a partial computer more or less fall into my lap.
Mm-hmm.
And as of today, the final piece to putting it together, it has arrived.
Mm.
And so over the weekend here, I will be building my brand new gaming / streaming PC that I managed to put together for approximately $230 from aftermarket parts.
Hmm. Yep. That's not very bad. I think the SSD was the only thing you bought new, but
yep.
Yeah, that's, you're going to be very surprised using a computer with an SSD.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I believe it.
It's
I think I'm going to be surprised running this computer altogether because from everyone I've talked to, it sounds like I'm getting a lot more than $230 worth of computer here.
I think for, you did pretty well for what you got there. So
I'm looking to set it up for streaming now that I do have a computer that will not gag on OBS.
Mm-hmm.
So expect the Final Fantasy 14 content to start flowing.
Yes.
Even though I'm still kind of working out exactly what kind of content that's going to be. Just various observations and talking with friends have given me some leads. So we'll see what I can make of them.
All right.
Well, Teresa, what about you?
I have been playing Final Fantasy 14 as well. And I'm finally at Belsar's Wall. So I'm sure
I'll be over on Tonberry tonight to tank that for you.
Yep. We could do that. I just need to watch that video again and remember what I need to look away from and et cetera, et cetera. So after that, I'll be into Stormblood.
Yep.
I'm like only 2 years behind here.
You're making up that ground fast.
You really are. It's easy with such a great, storyline.
It pushes you.
It does, but I have I've been out doing Pokemon Go raids again, so that's cool. Got Giratina this week, and I picked up Yoshi's Crafted World from the library the other day,
mm-hmm.
and I like it. I like that they've got kind of more. They're doing more with 3D, so you can aim off the screen, and it's pretty cool. Don't know that I'd buy it. I'd borrow it from the library 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Don't know that I'd buy it. So
yeah, the Yoshi platformers are generally games you can finish in a couple days.
Well, right. Except for the first one. That one kind of takes a while.
Yeah. Okay. No. Yeah. And then
going from Yoshi's Island to say Yoshi's Story.
Yeah. Yoshi's Story onward is pretty much Baby's first video game.
Yeah.
But they're good Baby's first video games. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's sort of like the Kirby games where it's easy to get through if you just want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to go for like all the collectibles and all that, it's a bit more tough that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Crafted World has where you can go back and not just get everything else. But there's also a little bit of a scavenger hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So the little robot dudes will give you something that they're looking for and you go back and get it. And then there's kind of a flip world where you find little poochie puppies. I don't know what these puppies are, but don't walk past the first one thinking that it's going to show up somewhere else because your butt's going to be backtracking for sure. So it's cool. I absolutely adore the art style of it. Makes me feel a little bad that I don't do fiber crafts anymore, but you know what? Time is finite.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't all sit around knitting all day. But other than that, I've been watching American Gods and it's real slow getting through just because there's a lot of other stuff going on. I wish I could sit and marathon it, but it's also a little dense.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the book.
Yeah.
Fact.
I, I read the book, even though it was very much out of my usual genre.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad I did, because it was a good experience. It was a very good experience. It's much more raw of a book than I usually go for. But the series is also pretty raw, but the visualization in it is just, it's incredible. It's really incredible. The acting is good. I mean, it's just, I'm really enjoying it.
A sex goddess eats a man with her vagina in that book.
A few times.
Mm-hmm.
In the book? Yeah, did that only happen once in the book? But yeah, it definitely happened here.
And it was neat how they actually, like, got around that for the, as far as, like, the special effects are concerned in the show. Because basically it all happens underneath a blanket, but yeah. It's really obvious what's happening.
Yes, yes. And I watched the part with the djinn today, and that was pretty cool too. But yeah, after I get done with the series, which I think it's still going too, or is it going to be three series? Is three seasons? I have no idea.
It's a long book.
It really was, but after I get done with it, I'll have to figure out what my favorite part is. I know what it is so far. But yeah, I'm really liking that. And then other than that, we're doing all the getting ready to move stuff, which is a 5-hour. I could explain it all for 5 hours. It's a nightmare, but it's almost over. And I'm pretty sure I got all my shit together. And I thought that I was going to have trouble with the $6,600 I got to cough up on Monday. Because I couldn't get a cashier's check from anybody. My bank is in San Antonio, where I've never been in my entire life.
What the blue fuck is... Oh my god.
I got it together. I got the shit all straightened out. I got it together.
Well, that's good.
But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So when's the date to when you're going to, you know,
we
set the charges and run?
Well, we get to go in Monday, probably okay. Afternoon.
Given the logistics of it, I don't recommend setting any charges.
Fuck, right. So Monday we get to go in. I've got to reschedule the people who are coming to steam clean the carpets and the tile, because the closing is going to take too long, and that's kind of a nightmare. I don't have our movers scheduled yet, because I don't know what day they're off next week. But we got to be out by Friday, probably Thursday night next week. So we've got basically Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday to get this shit done. And I don't think my mom's going to be able to come now. It's going to happen, you guys.
You were kind of counting on that.
Well, yeah, but I think we'll get it. I think we'll get it. So I'm just tired of living in a sea of boxes. So there's, like, right now my desk is gone. I'm
feeling
kind of
called
it.
Out right now.
Yeah, right? I sold it, so I'm having to podcast laying on the bed, which is not how I would like to be doing this.
Yeah.
So if I fall asleep, you guys prod me.
Okay.
All right, I'm done. I'm done, I promise.
All right, Chris, what about you?
I'm actually surprised Skype doesn't have a prod.
I'll get Coconut to screech into the microphone. That'll wake you up.
Yes. So I went and saw Shazam this week. It's really quite good.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I wouldn't say it's as good, but it's kind of the Thor Ragnarok of the DC universe. In terms of it kind of just takes what you think of the DC sort of style of movies and kind of makes it into a comedy. So yeah, the kind of core thing is that the boy Billy Batson,
mm-hmm.
Is brought to this weird place with this wizard named Shazam. Who
isn't there like a magic train or something that shows up?
No, he's just on a subway.
Okay. Okay.
It's like whatever vehicle they're in. They
mm-hmm.
It just all of a sudden like transports them to his place.
Yeah,
because like how the beginning starts is that. He has this boy come in and then mm-hmm. puts him to a test. And he is like in a car with his family.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just sort of disappear, and then it starts going really fast, and the windows freeze up with ice. He gets to this place, gets a test, and fails it.
Mm-hmm.
And is told, like, he can never be good enough for the power he would be given.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, sent back and kind of goes nuts. And ends up becoming the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
As a result. So Billy Batson ends up getting the powers because at a certain point he's not able to find this perfect person to take these powers, and ends up just giving to him before he dies. And they kind of spend a good chunk of the early part of the movie just trying to figure out what powers he has. And he's a foster kid, so he's like brought to this new place with a bunch of kids there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them happens to be a comic nerd.
Yep.
And in DC land, means he's a big Superman and Batman fan.
Yep.
Even
and this part gets kind of funny when you realize the actual history that happened between DC and Captain Marvel.
Yeah. And so he is kind of the guide for Billy Batson, who is kind of stuck in the Shazam form for a while because he doesn't realize he needs to say Shazam to transport or transform back and forth. And they spend a lot of time just trying to figure out like what powers he has before they realize he pretty much has all of them for the most part. And they spend a lot of time just coming up with dumb names for him, like Mr. Sparkle Fingers. Because they realize he can shoot like lightning out of his fingers and stuff like that. There's just lots of funny stuff there, and they set up like a YouTube channel to record him testing out all these powers. And that's like a weird part of it.
Okay, now yeah, I'm getting kind of a New Warriors vibe.
Yeah. And yeah, I think they end up settling on like Red Cyclone for a bit. But yeah, it's the way it ends up really sets some interesting places for them to go. And there's like a weird teaser at the end that's like the post-credits sequence that I'm curious to like actually look up and see what exactly it's referencing. But yeah, like it's a really cool movie. People should definitely check it out. It's it's like the thing they should have been doing instead of just giving all the movies to Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
Is like have different people with different skill sets and all that to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the guy that did all the Annabelle movies.
Yep.
And so there's like a weird, there are a little bit of weird, like scary sequences. Because the bad guy essentially has the control of these characters that are the seven deadly sins.
Mm-hmm.
And he unleashes them in like one scene in this like boardroom area. And yeah, it's a little bit freaky. It's not like scary.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like you don't really see these monsters really up close too much. But yeah, it's there's definitely some cool stuff in there. But yeah, like it's hopefully a new start for them, sort of trying new things with these different characters. And we definitely have a trailer for one of them that also looks pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
Though that one definitely seems like it's outside of the universe that the rest of the movies are in. But yeah, that's pretty cool to see. I've also been continuing to watch The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Mm-hmm.
Season 2 they're in, and I'm still working my way through it, but I'm in a pretty cool episode where it's kind of like they decided to do a Treehouse of Horror episode.
Mm.
Where essentially there's this whole conceit of this tarot card reader shows up to the shop that's Aunt Zelda, I think. No, Hilda works in. And she just starts doing tarot readings for like everybody. And they go through like their weird insecurities and all that. Going through these like what-if scenarios. That is pretty cool. And that show continues to be really well done. As for games, I started up Final Fantasy 14 on the PC.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You said that's a trial code. I mean, I played it before on PS4. But yeah, right now I'm just doing fetch quests. in the levels. Desert town. Yeah. Just trying to go around, pick up all the quests there are, do them. Killed marmots and hornets and all the dumb stuff that's hanging around the entrances of the town.
Well, let me know when you get to level 15, and yeah, we'll run dungeons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I think I'm 6. I think I posted a link in the Facebook chat.
Yeah.
To my dumb character.
Mm-hmm.
Whose name is Gandorf.
I like it.
Which is, I don't know really the origins of it. I just wanted a dumb version of Gandalf.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, Dorf. That's a dumb name. But yeah, that's, yeah, it's been fun. I've been surprised, just, I've seen it a few times in the intros, but like how much they curse.
Oh, yeah.
But they're just saying shit left and right. It's like, oh, whoa, yeah. Final Fantasy game. Hold on.
I love the sort of Renaissance era insults that get thrown around.
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of weird stuff in that game. But yeah, that's
somebody's been getting called a reprobate whore, son.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, that's been fun. I might be doing that as our stream tomorrow.
Cool.
For Smash Pad Streamkend. So yeah, if I get some more time into it, I will definitely maybe do some stuff on stream for that. And if you guys want to show up, that'd be cool.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, yeah, I've been doing lots of streaming over the past week. On Sunday we did Kingdoms Two Crowns. That's the new game, Teresa.
How'd you like it after the patch?
I don't know. It seems the same as it has been.
It was so broke-ass before the patch, though.
I don't think I had any issues.
Oh,
unless I didn't know they were issues, maybe. Because I've only played... I played a little bit of the previous game.
Yeah.
Where I was kind of like running out of money really early because I was expanding too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And spending my money on dumb classes for the people. Like, let's just have all the builders. Let's have it equal. And I was like, wait, I don't need that many builders.
There's ratios for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when I got into Two Crowns, the first session probably lasted like 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
Where I died doing the dumbest thing because I went back to one of the previous islands and forgot to ring the bell. Mm-hmm. So I didn't bring anybody with me.
I've done that. Don't feel bad.
But yeah, that game's not too bad as far as like punishing you for dumb stuff. Because when you get started up the second time, I guess you keep all like the towers and stuff.
Yeah, you do.
Like everybody, all my archers were in the towers. Like, oh god, these are so stupid. At least when I got the second island, I upgraded them, so I had 2 archers in them.
Yeah.
And you start expanding, and then it's like, oh shit, these people are useless. Yeah. This is dumb.
They're good if the greed starts taking down your walls.
Yeah. But I was doing well enough that that wasn't an issue.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is dumb. Because once you start getting the catapults and the spearmen, it's really hard for them to take down the walls. Unless they just get super powerful and you're just being careless.
They super get powerful later on. Wait till you get to about day 140.
Yeah, I don't hang around that much on the island. I get like 20 in and it's like,
well,
all
right. It's cumulative. So there's days on the islands, but then like when you're getting close to day 200 overall for the whole campaign, they do get.
Is there a way to tell what your overall day is?
Yeah, I think you have to hit pause or something and go to the menu and it'll show you.
Okay. And I think one of the other mistakes I had is I wasn't depositing the money with the money guy. So I was literally just running around with a full bag. And people, all my archers are throwing. I'm like, hey, here's money. I said, no, I don't want it. Get away from me. I kind of wish you could just tell them, hey, go deposit with that guy.
Yeah, that would be wonderful, but no.
Like, hey, here's direct deposit. Introduce that to this world. But yeah, the stream I did actually went pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got to the second island, was kind of cruising. But yeah, that game's just fun, but it's also it's kind of laid back enough that I can just spend hours on it and I have to stop myself.
Yes.
Or else just waste too much time and it's like, oh my god, I never want to play this again.
Yes, that's why we can't play it right now, or we're not going to move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the problem I had with like Mass Effect. Whereas like I sat down, 6 hours went by, and it's like, okay, I don't have 6 hours to just drop on this game.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't play for 2 years. Then I came back and finally beat it. But yeah, that was a fun time. And I do like the way they have the achievements set up on Xbox. Because they're essentially just a lot of like, on this day, do this thing or have this many of something. And it's not strict enough to like punish you for not having that like the first time around. Mm-hmm. So when you get to the new islands, that's like a second chance to get those. And so it's kind of like cumulative the way it's doing it. So I've gotten a lot of those just from starting over on new islands and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on like the second run. Where I already had like archers set up for some of them, stuff like that. But yeah, that's been good. I got Dangerous Driving. That was the Tuesday stream. And yeah, I was trying to get Phil on that because I knew he would like to see it. Mm. And that game is a lot of fun. So it's basically Burnout 3. The menus look exactly like Burnout 3's menus. The main difference is it just has the career mode. A set of races. Mm. Nothing else in it just yet. I think online is coming in about a month or so. They're going to be adding the online multiplayer stuff. But yeah, that game is a lot of fun. It's a little bit rough around the edges. I've had lots of little fun, weird bugs. And it definitely feels like the developers were too good at the game. So when they were testing, they weren't being bad drivers and finding out that if you rub on the rails around turns, occasionally it goes bad. And I mean, like, my car just launches into the air because it hits the right angle at a certain point. It just goes airborne off the track or something like that, which is always fun. The rubber banding can be fucked at times if you're way ahead of everybody else because they all of a sudden just start going with quadruple speed and zoom right past you despite you being, like, 10 seconds ahead of them. I've had one where I was way ahead of the others, and then all of a sudden, you're 22 seconds behind. Like, what? How does this happen? I think I have a Twitch clip I actually made of one of the instances I had happen on the stream, which was just... And none of these are, like, annoying. They haven't caused me to, like, lose races yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, this is a real dumb thing, but you can... The early parts are not too bad. As far as like making it easy for you to recover.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm working my way through it. I'm on the third set of races. I forget what they're all tied to car classes, each of the sets of races. But yeah, they have a lot of like classic styles of like modes. So there's a lot of that are just, here's Road Rage. Here's like races. Here's like Grand Prix. There's one that's called Heat Check, so that's what they call Burnout, since they can't call it Burnout. They call it Heat Check, which is you keep just doing Burnouts over and over again, and it just stacks up. Like, it adds like 2 miles per hour to your top speed that you're hitting, so it just progressively gets faster if you can keep it up, and you're kind of just trying to get the highest Heat Check combo as you can. But yeah, that game's a lot of fun. People should definitely check it out if you like Burnout, because there's nothing like Burnout anymore. And yesterday's stream was a bunch of Switch stuff. I basically played a bunch of the games that are on sale right now that are under $1, which found some cool games and some that weren't so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what did I play? I played a game called Fly O'Clock. Which you're a fly that's on a watch that doesn't have like a glass cover.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta jump over the hands as it spins around.
Ah.
Which is pretty simple, though you're jumping like to the four corners of the watch. So you don't really have too much control, but it's essentially like a jump rope kind of game. Mm-hmm. You're just trying to get as high a score as you can. Which is neat for what it is, but it's not that much of a game there. What was the other ones? I played a game called, I'm trying to see what my list was Jumping Joe and Friends. So what was the big mobile game that was all about jumping up on platforms trying to get as high as you could? I forget. It's like one of the old early like big mobile games. I'm trying to remember what it is, but so here, this game, it's kind of like that, but you jump on the platforms automatically. You're just picking where they go to the left or the right diagonally. And you're kind of picking up power-ups and all that sort of stuff, trying to avoid the spike platforms, all that sort of stuff. And it's pretty neat for what it is, but it's not, you know, all that much of a game. Let's see. I played Mecho Tales, which is a game from Arcade Distillery, who's made a bunch of... Their games have really weird art styles. It's like, sets them apart from everybody else. They made a PETA game a while back that is free to play. It's like a dual stick shooter about saving animals. I don't know. But Mecho Tales is kind of a platformer. You have a drone that's following you, and you kind of do dual stick shooter stuff with it. And it kind of sucks because the platforming is not great. And some of the enemies are just bullshit. Like do some real dumb damage to you. And you don't get health back too much. And also they drop currency and health, but it goes through the moving platforms. So like the one area I got to, they just fell through onto these spikes. Like, well, fuck that. I can't get them unless you're dumb and try it 100 times. I played the other game from that same developer called Plague Road, which is a strategy RPG, I guess. It's real weird. It kind of has like a little bit of mix of like Dark Souls to it, where you're kind of rescuing people that come back to your town and provide like some new, you know, mechanic to that you can build up and get new like weapons or whatever you need. And that also kind of sucks. I didn't really get into it. It just wasn't really a fun mode, fun way to play that game. I think their better stuff is a series called Desert Ashes, which is basically Advance Wars.
Yeah.
With a weird art style. And it's really good. I think they have a new one out that came out recently that's should also be really good. What else did I play? There was a game called Star Tide, which is a mech dual stick shooter kind of thing. The menus suck. Like, navigating them is terrible. I would not be surprised if it was a mobile game first. I was trying to control it with a controller sucks. All the interface stuff. But when you get into the actual game, it's okay. But some of the level objectives for what you need to do are not clear. If they're not just like kill everybody. Let's see, the other game, there's Star Story, The Horizon Escape, I think it's called. That one's kind of a turn-based RPG, kind of with a lot of like story elements to it. Like you can pick you know, all your dialogue choices, you kind of role-play your character the way you want. A little bit of Mass Effect vibe to it, but on a much lower budget. But that one's actually pretty cool. I think the other game that I really enjoyed was called Splitter Critters, which is a puzzle game where essentially you can kind of split the level and move the different pieces up and down to try and connect different platforms together and get these creatures into your ship to rescue them. And you try and you know, get the bad guys out of the way, that sort of stuff. It's just a really well done, kind of charming puzzle game. And I think that one's 99 cents. That people should definitely check that out if you're into those kind of games. And that's kind of been it. Right. Rain today. Made it a lot colder. It was like that kind of rainstorm. Was like, oh, it's 2 hours. It gets everything from like the mid 60s to the mid 50s. And it's like, oh, now it sucks out here. I think we're supposed to be like staying in cooler temps for a little while, like in the 50s. Nothing too bad, because I think there's some snowstorms will be happening up in like the north part of the Midwest. That's you know, it sucks to be them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been pretty much it.
All right. Well then, as for me, the big thing, the primary thing I've been playing for the last week has been Okami HD. I actually heavily credit it for helping me get back into a relatively good mood after the recent unpleasantness.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to play Okami HD and not have a smile on your face. It's that kind of game. It's just good and pleasant and fun to play. I think I'm actually close to finishing it. Which is funny because I remember this game being longer when I played it when I was younger, but that may just be, you know, the years making it seem longer than it actually was.
Your concept of time was different.
Yeah. But yeah, the other thing I've been playing is something I actually got a couple days ago. Went to GameStop and got a copy of Tales of Vesperia Definitive Edition for PS4. I have actually not played Tales of Vesperia in a long time. I actually never finished it. Well, it's a Tales game. You know, it looks good. The voice acting is good for a English dub. It's got that real-time battle system, and you can trust absolutely nothing. So it's just another Tales game, basically. I have said it before, and I will say it again. If you are a person who is thinking of getting into the Tales games, I do not recommend Vesperia as your entry point, mostly because Vesperia actually is a little slow getting started. Things, you know, unlike Symphonia, where, you know, the stakes and sort of the overall, you know, world and everything is established pretty quickly at the start of the game. Tales of Vesperia actually takes a little while before it extends out and you actually get, like, some real stakes in the game. And then, of course, like all Tales games, there's that one point in the middle where there's the big holy shit moment, and then suddenly everything you've known up to that point is turned completely on its head. Still haven't gotten to that part, though. But other than that, I'm still reading, as usual. I've been reading I'm still reading The Thousand Year Beach, which I kind of mentioned it on what was supposed to be last week's show, but I'll go ahead and say it again. It's by a guy named, I think his name is it Taki Moritaka? I think that's the guy's name. Let me check. Thousand Year Beach. The book is called, it's Toby Hirotaka. Okay. It's Toby Hirotaka. It's called The Thousand Year Beach. And basically what it is it's very kind of Philip K. Dickish type story where it's basically about this place that's called the Realm of Summer. It's basically what it is it's a virtual reality resort that is packed with all of these AIs. Pat, you okay there?
Yeah.
Allergies.
Yeah, I gotcha. But basically, it's a virtual reality resort that basically is meant to resemble like a sleepy town on a beach somewhere in, I guess, southern Europe. And it's inhabited by all these AIs, all these artificial intelligences who basically go about their daily lives, you know, living in what is otherwise a barren place. Because although it's a virtual reality resort, there hasn't been any regular guest in about a millennium at this point. And the thing is, as you can guess, being that it's a virtual reality space, obviously sometimes code will get messed up or, you know, there will be glitches. And in order to fix the program, in order to fix the glitches, you know, get the program back, they have these entities that will show up called spiders. Now, these aren't actually like actual spiders as we think of them. Basically, what it is it's something, it'll be like an object or a texture or something in the immediate environment that will suddenly sprout legs, and two little like robot eyes, and then it'll go over to over where the glitch is, which in this world it usually shows up as like just a black patch of nothingness, and it'll basically go over there and just go and it'll fix up, you know, the glitch and everything. Then one day, some of the AI are walking the beach and they find a spider that's as big as a house and it starts eating people, which basically means they're finally realizing that the program is finally starting to fail. And so they have to deal with the fact that, the inevitable program and their programming and all of that is eventually going to fail. And so they've put up basically what's kind of a brave, if somewhat hopeless, front against the incoming spiders.
I mean, I could have told them that. Don't trust spiders.
Yeah. It's kind of like Westworld, you know, except it came out in 2010 originally. Oh, yeah, and here's the other thing about it. The people who tended to visit the Realm of Summer basically treated the AIs the same way the people in Westworld treated the robots.
Yeah. How'd that go for them?
Yeah, and keep in mind that amongst the AI here, there is like a young boy and a 16-year-old girl.
Japanese.
Japan, yes. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's exactly as bad as you would imagine it to be. But yeah, it's a great book. I highly recommend it. Other than that, I went to the used bookstore and I got a copy of Musashi by Eiji Yoshikawa, which that's one of those books, if you've never heard of it. Eiji Yoshikawa was like one of the most popular novelists in Japan in the post-World War II era. And Musashi is like the book that his reputation is built on. It's a monster, first of all. It is well over 800 pages. And it's basically about the life of Miyamoto Musashi. You know, and you guys know who Miyamoto Musashi was, right? He was like the most famous samurai who ever lived. Mm-hmm. Wrote the Book of Five Rings. He's that manga Vagabond that some of you may have occasionally read. It's based on this book. It's a damn good book. And it's like over 50 years old at this point, but damn, it's good. And other than that, you know, anime. Still doing anime. Not as much as I'd want to, but yeah, I'm doing anime. Also, reminder that Evangelion's going to be on Netflix in a couple months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
July 23rd.
And Netflix is going up to $16 in like a month.
Yeah, I've kind of just accepted.
Well, that. I actually I don't have the HD.
Yeah.
I have the regular, so it's not that high for me.
Yeah.
I think mine's going up to 13.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to take over paying it for my brother. Because right now we swap. I pay Hulu, he plays pays Netflix. But 16 is getting a little high for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've just kind of accepted that I'm going to pay whatever they decide to charge me and just leave it at that. Because they just offer too much good stuff. So
they do. And I mean, if you're not like buying the new Disney one and CBS All Access, which you don't have to do because Canada, yay, Phil, you know, Amazon Instant Video or Video on or whatever the fuck their shit is.
Prime Video.
You know, it's crazy. It's like we're going to end up with a la carte cord-free cable, cord cutters, right?
Right.
But we're going to fucking end up spending more than cable.
Yeah, but we have the advantage where we're not stuck in contracts.
This is true.
So
you don't have to get things you don't really want.
Yeah.
Right. You don't have to get the commercials.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, for...
have to get like the Home and Garden channel and, and all these other weird channels. The Hallmark channel, we don't want that.
Yeah.
Though I'm sure Netflix has their own versions of Hallmark movies.
Oh, yeah.
Well, sure. I think
there's that Christmas, all the Christmas ones they make.
I'm absolutely positive that HGTV is going to be what causes our entire environment to collapse.
Because people are watching how much rich people want to buy houses for.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to improve their own.
They want to toss out all their perfectly good shit and replace it. Like, "Oh, I don't like that cabinet anymore. I'm going to buy a new one. Hello, landfill. Here, have this cabinet."
Yeah, I can't tell if I like the $3 million house or the $5 million house better.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of, if for whatever reason you actually need trash television, there is a subscription service for just trash TV called HeyYu. HeyYu. My mom has subscribed to that, so now she watches all of her trash television all of the time.
Like, what are a few choice trash titles here?
Let's see, all of the Real Housewives of X.
Oh, God.
And then there's, what's this, Vanderpump Rules. Let's see, there's that, what's her name? It's like Dr. Pimple Popper for...
What?
Oh, that woman, yeah.
Yeah, that woman.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Hoarders, so, is that on there?
Hoarders is on there, yeah. So, well, at least I don't have to watch it. So there's that.
Yeah, as long as they stay in their own service, that's fine.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, all righty then. Well, anybody got anything else they want to add before we move on?
Nope.
I dropped Amazon Prime.
Yeah? Are you feeling good about it?
Yeah, because I thought I was going to be renewing in a couple days and I realized it was on April 1st. I was like, well, let's stop this. And they're like, well, you haven't used it, so you get all your money back. It's like, oh, cool.
Nice.
Nice. All right.
The only thing that's going to be bad about it is not getting the Twitch Prime stuff, but whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And this week, because, you know, Chris kind of brought it up, the newest movie in the DC Cinematic Universe, Shazam, came out this week. And, actually good, because Shazam, as neat a character as he is, he kind of doesn't get a lot of love, and really hasn't for a long time. Which is funny, because at one point, he was actually more popular than Superman was.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So first of all, what you need to know, of course, is that the character's original name is not Shazam. His original name, of course, as I mentioned earlier, was Captain Marvel. He originally appeared back in 1939 from a company called Fawcett Comics, and specifically in their at that time ongoing monthly comic book Wiz Comics, which was he actually showed up in the second issue of that series. He was, as the story goes, he was a little boy named Billy Batson, who was basically on a train, who managed to go underground. He found a magic train that took him to a castle that was being inhabited by a wizard named Shazam. His name was supposed to be an acronym of what they called the Six Immortal Elders, which was Solomon, Hercules, Atlas, Zeus, and Achilles, and Mercury. And he bestowed upon him a power which essentially would give him superpowers if he said the magic word, which was Shazam. And that was pretty much it. Not really much of an origin story, but it worked because it gave something that most of the other superheroes at the time couldn't provide, which was a wish fulfillment fantasy for little kids, because he was the first character who was canonically just a little kid who could become a big powerful superhero at will.
And he's very much like a G. Willikers kind of kid.
Yeah, he is. So there's a couple reasons other than that why the character was so popular. The other big one was it was the artwork. You see, the artist, the primary artist for the Captain Marvel feature was a guy named C.C. Beck. Now, C.C. Beck actually was not actually an artist who had a history in the comic book, in the superhero genre. Most of the artwork he had done up to that point was like illustrations for pulp magazines and for more like funny animal and adventure type stuff, you know. what this did is it gave his artwork a more clean, somewhat more cartoony style. That meant that he didn't rely super much on. I don't want to make it sound like, because I want to say he didn't focus too much on anatomy, but that makes it sound like he was like an old Rob Liefeld or something. Not like that. You know, he could still draw, you know, hands and feet like a regular person. But he gave it a bit more brighter, not so dour, ultra-realistic look like that a lot of the other the Superman comics in particular look like. Because here's the thing, Joe Shuster, you know, obviously gets credit for being the first artist, the guy and co-creator of Superman, but Joe Shuster wasn't really a great artist. So compared to, and you know, let's also compare that to their other major, their other major competition, which was Batman. And of course, the artist of Batman back then was who? It was Bob Kane. And we've already sort of made clear that Bob Kane was not only a shitty artist, he was a shitty person. Who basically took all the credit for a character he barely had much input on, with art that he mostly stole from other sources.
Ugh, the worst.
Yeah. And even by that point, he wasn't really doing much of the art anyway. He had hired a studio to do most of it. And I don't mean like in the manga world where, you know, somebody will like actually draw at least the faces. No, he literally had other people do all the work and he signed his name to it. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That kind of person.
Yeah.
And so in the 1940s up until 1950, Captain Marvel outsold Superman by a pretty good margin. He also, you know, had more. He also, of course, was the star of a popular movie serial. In fact, by film historians, his particular film serial is considered the best of the genre. So, you know, that's definitely something. He also had a popular radio show. In fact, I think he actually beat Superman to the punch in that regard by a couple of years. Because Superman didn't have a regular radio show until I think it was 1950. And of course, you know, they had the merchandise too. So there were dolls, there were stuff like Halloween costumes and stuff. So he was, you know, Captain Marvel was doing really good as far as money goes. And then you might have figured out, okay, so this is all awesome. So what happened to him? DC is what happened. Because if you've ever looked at Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Shazam, you may have looked at him and noticed, hey, he reminds me of somebody.
No.
Gee, who's somebody who walks around in a one-piece leotard, wears a cape, and can fly?
I wonder.
Could be... couldn't be Superman.
I was going to say Spider-Man, but sure, okay, we'll go with that.
Well, Spider-Man doesn't wear a cape.
Yeah.
And he doesn't fly.
No. But anyway, DC noticed that too. And they also noticed the fact that Captain Marvel and the sort of what they called the quote-unquote Marvel family, which was the sort of associate characters that they sort of dragged along for the ride, was vastly outselling their characters by quite a large margin, using a character that looks suspiciously similar to theirs. So, they took Fawcett Comics to court, and they won. They got all of the copyrights and, you know, intellectual property for the Captain Marvel character, and they basically buried him for the next 30-some-odd years. In fact, up until at least the 80s, they refused to reprint any Captain Marvel or Shazam material from back then. In fact, there was a book that came out in the, I think it was either the 70s. It was called The Great Comic Heroes or something like that. And it collects the Great Comic Book Heroes, 1965. That's when it was from. I know because I actually checked this book once out of the library. It was written by Jules Pfeiffer, who is probably one of the most famous cartoonists that America ever gave birth to. He did a whole bunch of he collected all the origin stories for some of the most famous superheroes of the Golden Age. So he had Superman, he had Batman, he had Wonder Woman. He even had some of the obscure ones like the original Daredevil, and Catman and Bullet Man. But he was only allowed to print one random page from the old Captain Marvel stuff. And it's because even back then, DC still wouldn't allow people to reprint any of the old Shazam material.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it until they kind of rebranded him in the 80s and he became kind of a minor character. And I don't think he really became a big thing again until the Kingdom Come series came about and they kind of reintroduced him into DC canon. And now he's a big thing again. And now we live in an era where we can go and read the old Shazam material from the Golden Age to our heart's content.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Yeah. I also dropped a link in the show notes to the original Captain Marvel 1941 radio serials that are up on archive.org if you want to have a listen to those.
Yeah. Also, if you ever get a chance, listen to probably the major Superman serials, which is Superman versus the Clan of the Fiery Cross, which is usually credited with helping to destroy the 1950s version of the Klan. Anyway. All right, so with that out of the way, it is now time to start the show proper. And as always, we have to start with our asshole of the week. So WrestleMania happened last weekend.
Yep.
Yeah. And one of the things they do before WrestleMania is they'll have the WWE Hall of Fame. Well, they'll put in new entries, you know.
Yeah.
And this year, the big person that entered was Bret Hart, a.k.a. Bret the Hitman Hart of the Hart Foundation, the Hart Wrestling Family of Canada. Vancouver or Toronto?
Near Toronto.
Yeah. So obviously there's Bret Hart, there's of course his late brother Owen Hart, his father who was also a pretty big wrestler. Family's full of wrestlers, basically. It's a whole legacy.
Yeah.
A whole
dynasty.
They have
a training facility too.
Yeah. Of course Bret now is in his early 60s, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 61, I think.
Yeah. And boy does he look like it. But
yeah, he's had cancer scares and all that sort of stuff too.
Yeah, he's been retired for a while now, I think. But he actually had his he was going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame this week. He went up and he was in the ring and he was giving his speech. You know, he had the award with him and it's good. You know, I'm actually surprised that he was willing to do this because he does not have good things to say about Vince McMahon.
I think they buried it a while back. Or he got paid enough to bury it.
Yeah, because he basically has said that Vince McMahon treats wrestlers like circus animals.
Yeah.
There's
the whole Montreal Screwjob. That was a huge thing.
Yeah, and John Oliver on one of the recent editions of Last Week Tonight talked about it.
Yeah.
Basically
how they classify everybody as independent contractors, but they don't get the benefits that independent contractors have.
Yeah. And Vince is a total dick about it, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is, Bret was giving his speech and everything was going good, and then some douchebag dashed the ring and pounced him.
Yep. Which was not a good move because he probably
And this is a 61-year-old man who has had a stroke in the past. And
if you looked around, you notice there are dozens of wrestlers, former and current wrestlers, mm-hmm. around. You're not getting out of this in any sort of good shape.
Yeah. They people respect Bret Hart a good deal for a good reason. And He got the most indescribable beatdown of in history on camera. And what the fuck did you think you were going to do, dude? Like, seriously.
No yeah. idea.
What did you think you were going to accomplish?
Well, it made for a very entertaining watch, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Seeing him get his ass handed to him.
Mm-hmm. Just what the hell, man?
Some people just. Ugh.
And why him exactly? What was the point?
Don't know.
Was there a personal vendetta?
I want to say I read that he had done this to a UFC fighter before.
Oh, he's one of those assholes.
Yeah. But he was arrested on assault and criminal trespassing charges, so. Hopefully he does some time.
Yeah.
Yes, I do hope he does some time. Because you attacked a 61-year-old man who has had cancer scares and a stroke and has been retired from the wrestling business for some time now.
Yeah.
And basically sort of mangled himself into humanoid walking ground beef through his entire career because... Holy shit, what wrestlers put themselves through on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, anyway, point is...
They don't even get health care.
No, they don't even get health care. They've had stuff. Yeah, matter of fact, we talked about John Oliver. One of the things John Oliver talked about was that one of the legends of All-Star Wrestling, Jake the Snake Roberts, actually had to go on, was it Indiegogo or GoFundMe?
I think it was GoFundMe, but one of his friends set it up for him.
Yeah, and he like got a bunch of money out of it too.
Yeah. It was Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah, Diamond Dallas Page was the guy who helped set it up. But yeah. But yes, Brett is fine. He'll be fine.
Yeah, he finished his speech and all that.
Yep. That other guy's gonna have a black eye and probably a sore asshole in the morning. Anyway, so that was our asshole of the week. Now we go on to our hero of the week. So last week, the House of Representatives held a hearing on hate crimes and hate groups and the rise of far-right hate movements in America and all over the globe. And one of the people who came to attend that hearing was none other than she whose eyes are, let's put it this way, you look her in the eyes and it's obvious that, you know, the wheel is still spinning, but the hamster is dead. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Candace Owens, who you may remember was apparently, who apparently one of her apparent followers is the person who went into a mosque in Christchurch, New Zealand, and murdered some 60-odd people.
Yeah, seem to remember that. Horrible.
Yeah. So as they were doing this, Representative Ted Lieu brought up something about Candace Owens that some people, well, I certainly haven't forgotten, and I hope plenty have. She once said that the problem with Hitler is that he was a globalist.
Oh, yeah, that's his only problem.
Yeah. You know, he wanted to make the whole world German, in her words. You know, if he just wanted to make Germany great again, that wouldn't have been a problem. Again, her words, not mine. Of course, she's completely bypassing some very big factors in the equation there.
Selective memory.
She said here.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. She's on there, and she's basically trying to make it all about her, like how she's so persecuted and everything, and how her free speech is being denied her and everything. And basically, she said that Ted Lieu was taking her thing out of context and everything. So Ted Lieu, being just one of the coolest motherfuckers on the planet, very quietly, very calmly, pulled out his iPhone and he put it up to the microphone and basically played the audio of where that quote comes from. Let's just say that the context doesn't make it any better.
No. And she was very much...
Oh, like you watched the
shit face.
Yeah, you watch the footage. It suddenly dawns on her. It's like, let's just say she isn't happy.
And her response was not great either. Where she basically responded, let's see. This is a committee hearing on hate crimes and the rise of white nationalism.
Yeah.
Which is why, because her whole like Hitler thing was like, she doesn't have problems with the word nationalism.
Yeah.
Which by using Hitler in this whole thing is like, no, he was a nationalist.
Yeah.
He was a white nationalist. That's the whole thing he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, her response to this, I think it's pretty apparent that Mr. Liu believes that black people are stupid and will not pursue the full clip in its entirety. He purposely presented an extracted clip.
We played the whole goddamn thing for you, bitch.
Yeah.
And also, I would like to, also, I'm pretty sure when she said that, you could basically hear every other black person in the United States go, bitch, don't try to hide behind us.
Yeah. She's very much decided to be the black friend for the alt-right.
Charlie Kirk, specifically.
Yeah.
And for the record, I just want to point this out. Much like Diamond and Silk, Candace Owens doesn't actually have any beliefs of her own. Because she used to be a hardcore, I don't want to use this term, but unfortunately I have to, quote unquote SJW. Hmm. I don't want to use that term because I hate it, but it's true. And she got famous for getting in on the pro Zoe Quinn side of Gamergate. Again, that's not a problem, but she basically became famous through doxing. And then eventually what happened is the Gamergate crowd, either through sheer force of will or offering her a lot of money, got her to switch over to her side, to their side. So that's what she's a whore for money. That's
mm-hmm.
And she's also phenomenally stupid.
Yeah, her character, she is basically one of the characters that's in Dear White People.
Mm-hmm.
The girl who goes on Fox News and all that.
Yeah.
To dispel racism and all that.
Yeah, she, and I'm like, it's like, we got it right here, lady. This is the context. We're giving the context. You are hearing the context to this quote.
Yeah.
You know, the whole damn paragraph that you said, and it doesn't make it any better.
No.
I mean, at best, you could have said that you misspoke and you didn't, you know, you didn't mention all of Hitler's obvious crimes, but you didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't. At best, what you did is you said, you know, he did what he did because he was a National Socialist, because she was, you know, pulling out the not Hitler was socialist card.
Gosh.
Yeah. Does anybody else find it, like, incredibly ironic, though, that during a hearing on white nationalism that was being streamed on YouTube, the comments were overtaken by racist, hateful white nationalist comments?
It was YouTube, so yeah. No, not really.
yeah, that happened.
Gosh.
Look, if I'm going to tell you anything that's going to make you feel any better, it's this. If you've been paying attention, you'll know that that particular sect of the internet has already had its heyday, and it's already sort of positioning itself into a circular firing squad over purity issues. So, you know, just wait. There's going to be a spectacular disintegration of that part of the internet any day now. Now, yeah. Going on from horrible, awful pieces of shit to, well, another horrible, awful piece of shit. We got to start the proper show proper. And the first story of the night is that Donald Trump has officially, quote unquote, well, let me put it this way. The now former head of the Department of Homeland Security, Kirstjen Nielsen, has, quote unquote, resigned. I say quote unquote resigned because this is one of those states where Trump probably told her you're fired and she said, fuck you, I quit.
And now she's trying to act like she's part of the resistance.
Oh, bitch, no.
Like, no, you you don't get to do the shit you did and act like you didn't do it.
Yeah, you don't get to, you know, bitch, you were there the whole goddamn time. You were there signing the papers you were there, you know, helping carry out the policies of family separation, and of putting little, of funding it, of putting the little kids in cages. That was all you. You know, you could, if you had any moral backbone in your body, you would have stepped down the moment you were asked to sign one of those pieces of paper.
Yeah.
But you didn't. You stayed there for a year and a half. And now there's a bunch of kids that are dead from thirst, starvation, or sickness. A bunch of kids that have been molested. And a bunch of other kids that may never see their parents again. And it all falls on you. Hmm. And Steve Miller and Donald Trump and all the other people that were involved in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't get to play that game.
Hmm. Yeah.
So right now we have no idea who's actually going to replace her. But word has been that this whole thing has sort of been part of a purge that's been orchestrated by Stephen Miller. Hmm. And yeah, if he ends up getting being the head of it,
God,
just give him a toupee, maybe he'll calm down. Yeah, like the current acting head is Kevin McAleenan.
Mm-hmm.
He's the current U.S. Customs and Border Patrol Commissioner or Border Protection Commissioner.
Mm-hmm. All right. But, yeah, basically, some people are saying that the reason Nielsen was let go was because she was not willing to be worse.
Well, and
speaking of just awful bullshit, it was recently announced that Trump wanted to release ICE detainees into sanctuary cities to attack political rivals.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is he thinks this would work.
I was reading this and I'm wondering just what?
Yeah. How is that?
Do you think all of them are like violent criminals?
Yeah.
Like, let's put you in the place that would most accept you and help you out.
That has plenty of, you know, charities and civil organizations willing to let people into their homes and give them some food and shelter and help them get jobs. Become that you're gonna productive do citizens.
Favors.
One second thought, that's actually a great idea.
Yeah, actually, you know that. What? Go ahead and do that. It'll make that many more people who will vote who will end up supporting the opposition.
It's like, what? Do you think these people are all of a sudden going to be like, you know, your lackeys somehow?
No, what he thinks is going to happen is that he's going to let them loose and they're basically going to be like the Mongol hordes invading Eurasia.
Such delusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The lights are on, but nobody's home.
Yeah. So my response is, you know, try me, bitch. All right. But any other stupid news? Brexit. The European Union has decided that they will extend Brexit stand line once again, this time to October 31st.
Which has created a lot of good Halloween memes.
Oh, yes.
Already.
It also will give them time to possibly set up another plebiscite.
Yeah.
So that they can asking is like, are you really sure you want to do this?
Yeah, maybe and of course
the vote will come and the vote will be no, and they can just say, okay, fuck it.
Yeah.
And we won't have to leave the European Union. Well, and hopefully the Prime Minister will finally step down.
Yeah. Oh my God, please.
Yeah, she needs to go. Like, seriously.
At this point, she's almost as hated as Margaret Thatcher.
Hmm.
That's pretty hard to do, but she managed.
Yeah, and she wasn't in office nearly as long as Thatcher was. So,
yeah. Well, see, the thing is, like, Margaret Thatcher had a personality,
mm-hmm.
and Theresa May doesn't.
So, yeah, the only time I get sort of personality is when Kate McKinnon takes over on SNL. Like the skit they had this past weekend was pretty great.
Yeah,
yeah,
so, yeah. I suspect this will get. They'll delay again. The next one will be delayed until 2049, probably. Maybe what? 2180.
And eventually it'll just become like a parliamentary tradition that everybody forgets why they do it, but they do it anyway. Yeah. It'll become like the new Guy Fawkes Day.
Yeah. Brexit.
Yeah, they don't realize this actually doesn't help anything for them.
No.
Their economy's still in the shitter.
Most of them have figured out But there's certain interests that want that are working really hard to make sure that it happens.
Mm. Yeah, I saw some good jokes like, "Oh, it just gives them more time to turn down more proposals."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So next up, because unfortunately we do live in hell, and we have to be in election mode 24/7 in the United States. Trump has been putting up Trump 2020 material on Twitter and Facebook, but his recent video on Twitter got DMCA'd by Warner Brothers because it illegally used the Dark Knight Rises score without permission.
Yep.
Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, God.
I was born from Gotham, Batman, molded by it.
Well, good. At least this is a case where the DMCA is actually doing some good. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't bother to clear the rights for this? I mean,
why?
This is not what politicians do.
That's like how many times Trump does. Yeah. The entire world bends to his will.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I need to bring this up because this only happened like fairly recently. He posted a bit of 9/11 footage specifically to attack Representative Ilhan Omar.
Mm-hmm.
Because she went to and it's from a while back, actually. It's not even recent. She was speaking at a conference for CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about the effect that, 9/11 had on the Muslim community in the United States. In fact, that's kind of why CARE came into existence.
Mm.
And she, they out of context use this footage where she basically it sounds like they try to play this footage out of context to make it look like she's downplaying 9/11, even though that's not at all what she was doing, especially if you hear the whole footage. And no, this isn't like a Candace Owens situation. The context actually makes it sound far more sensible than they're making it.
Yeah.
Even
the New York Post made its their cover.
Yeah.
Shit on her.
Well, I mean, that's a Murdoch rag. So
yeah.
But they
had the picture of the attacks happening.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
And of course, Trump put it up there. And I need to remind people that Trump was not in Manhattan when the fucking planes hit the buildings.
No.
No, but after it happened, he bragged about how he had the tallest building in New York now.
Yeah.
Hmm.
God damn it. He is just such an unlovable, hateful human piece of shit.
I think he accepted government aid that was supposed to go to actual companies that needed it.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Ilhan Omar recently voted to have the 9/11 benefits to keep going out. Mm. So she's actually helped 9/11 victims and survivors more than Donald Trump ever has. And she's only been in the representatives for, what, like 3 or 4 months?
Yeah.
God damn it. God, it's just every goddamn day.
Didn't she also shit on Stephen Miller, called him a white nationalist. People were like,
he is a fucking white nationalist.
His own uncle says it. but they basically would turn around. It's like, see, she's shitting on a Jew. That's anti-Semitic.
Damn it!
It's like, man, these are the most disingenuous people I've ever seen.
It's just...
They make your kids that just fucking be contrarians like look like fucking perfect angels. Because they're not at least threatening, suggesting people should, kill Ilhan Omar.
Okay. All right. So we're putting all the serious shit aside now. God damn.
For something much worse.
Oh, yeah. So over in the Republic of China, a.k.a. Taiwan, there was a woman who was suffering with a swollen eye. Now, we've all had eye problems in the past. Sure. I have my allergies, and I have problems, of course, when, I get pollen in them, at best, if that happens, it's just an itch that'll last for a few hours. Yeah. Once when I was a kid, I used to have a trampoline out back, and one spring afternoon, me and my friends went out and jumped on it after it had been, like, coated. And I mean coated in pine tree pollen. And the following morning, I had to stay home from school because my eyes had swollen shut.
Lovely.
Yeah, I've fallen asleep with my glasses on, and they pinched my, like, tear ducts and swole up.
Hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, we've all had eye shit happen to us at one time or another. Hmm. It's not pleasant, but definitely not this awful, because this woman ended up going to the doctor and found out that she had 4 live sweat bees living in her eye.
Which I didn't know was a thing.
How?
Now I can't go to sleep ever again. They're going to come to get me.
Cannot unsee.
Yeah, so let's see. The doctors at the Fuyin University Hospital in Taiwan described the incident as a world first. They successfully managed to extract all 4 sweat bees alive from
her tear duct.
Yeah, he's tear duct. Which this woman's nice. Last name is he.
Yeah.
Which just makes this whole thing weird and complicated.
Actually, I think it's pronounced hey.
Hey, yeah, probably. But it's just weird reading it like he's tear duct. So like, this doesn't make sense. So wait, like,
nice copy editing there, Guardian, but no, they're actually talking about.
Yeah, and I guess he had a press conference about this. He said, I saw something that looked like insect legs, so I pulled them out under a microscope slowly, one at a time without damaging their bodies.
They've got a picture here, too.
No!
Yeah, no. So the problem is she had been tending to a family member's grave and was pulling out weeds when she felt something go into her eye. She assumed it was soil, washed it out with water, but by night it began to swell up. She felt a sharp stinging pain under her eyelid. And at the hospital the next morning, Hung had suspected an infection, but when he looked at his eye through a microscope, he saw tiny legs of the bees wriggling in her ducts, where they were feeding off the moisture and salt of her tears. But yeah, her eyesight is fine now, and the bees are okay, I guess.
Glad we got that in.
Yeah, I guess these bees are attracted to human perspiration, are found all over the world. They're not usually aggressive and sting only if touched. They commonly nest in the mountains and near graves, which explained how they come into contact with hey.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, now we got more stories to make you forget about that nightmare.
Yeah. All right. First and foremost, up in Kanuckistan, you know, Phillip's part of the world, turns out that...
This one.
Oh, yeah, that one. Sorry, I forgot. Okay, yeah, before we do that one, a woman called into 911 because she was convinced that someone, a burglar, had broken into her house but was locked in her bedroom. So the cops come over and they break open the door and find out it was a Roomba.
I love that. Yeah, I freaking love that.
Yeah, the initial call came in from someone reporting that a stranger was in her bathroom and that the person had the bathroom door locked. She said she could see shadows moving under the door. Within minutes, several deputies surrounded the home, called for a K-9 team as backup.
Oh my god.
They said they could hear a rustling noise coming from the bathroom. After calling to the suspect several times over a loudspeaker, deputies went in the home with their guns drawn. After opening the bathroom door, deputies say they found an automated robot vacuum crashing around on the floor.
Can you imagine the fucking giggles coming out of that place?
Obviously, yeah, it could have been. Vacuum wasn't doing very much, or they would have heard the vacuum motor.
Yeah, I wonder what was like what sort of rugs were in there, because I know if you have like a typical kind of
bathroom, it gets stuck in. Yeah,
Like I hate vacuuming that shit. Almost just want to get rid of them entirely, but I don't know. But those are always terrible, and I don't know that. I guess Roombas might also have trouble with them.
Oh, yeah, Roombas aren't great for that kind of thing, or dog hair. They kind of don't like that either.
And yeah,
Roombas have trouble with everything except dog poop. They'll smear that shit all over.
Yeah, and the police department's Twitter feed had a fun day with this. Posting picture with a capture written over it with the picture of the Roomba. Like, we finally got our most wanted.
Well, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. And they're not going to sue the woman over getting all these people here over nothing.
No. Mm-hmm.
Unlike a certain city in the Midwest.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just have some fun with that one.
Yeah. Anyway.
Nobody died.
Anyway, as I was saying previously, up in Kanuckistan, which is Phil's part in the woods, turns out Canada is warming up about twice the rate of the rest of the world.
This is not a bug. Well, this is a feature.
Yeah, Canada is Canada, and basically everyone up there is now thinking, oh, got some beachfront property now there, E.
Yeah, the real estate companies are licking their lips.
Oh, yeah.
This is not a problem.
Basically, yeah. What it means is that the United States is going to move up a couple.
I'll just push all you guys up.
Well, I mean, at least you guys will have all that space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
because you want to stay at the current temperatures, and you obviously have to keep moving north for that.
Well, it'll mean that Winnipeg, like, will actually be livable.
Yeah. And not just a frozen hellscape 12 months out of the year.
Yeah. They don't call it Winterpeg for a reason.
Yeah. And, of course, The great thing about Canada is that they've got all that water. Yeah. So that's like, just like, oh, the globe's warming. Well, means more water for us.
Yeah.
But anyway. And as for Georgia, well, the way it's looking right now, Atlanta may be beachfront property in about 60 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, Lee's going to be moving around in his cyborg body. You know.
Yeah, with his grappling hook.
Yeah.
Complaining about WoW.
Yeah. It's been 50 years and they still can't fix this shit. But anyway. All right. Next up. Once again, we are now once again more proof that we are living in the weird timeline. The United Nations has recently revealed an idea for a floating city that could withstand a Category 5 hurricane.
Yep. This plan comes from a nonprofit called Oceanics. And they have a prototype floating islands plan that is pretty neat in the way it looks.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of looks like if you had like a water world in like Civ.
Yep.
In the way it's kind of set up. So it has buoyant islands that would be linked together into floating, self-sustaining cities that rise with sea levels and are built to withstand hurricanes.
Yeah. I was looking at this and I'm like, okay, somebody read the Bobiverse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So talking about how sea levels are projected to rise about 7 inches by 2030.
Mm-hmm.
90% of the largest global cities are vulnerable to climate change. And... yeah, a lot of the big cities that are on the coastlines are having to spend a lot of money trying to pour sand in the ocean or build walls or try and find some way to stave the water, keep it at bay. But yeah, they have the full 4.5-acre floating platforms are made of wood and bamboo, be the basic molecule of a shared urban system. Each platform will house about 300 people, markets, farms, low-rise apartments, and solar panels would stack atop the platforms. The sea would grow in a fractal pattern, six-link platforms, like a hexagon of a honeycomb, would become a village. Six of those villages would be a 10,000-strong town covering 185 acres, and they say it's scalable.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I don't see any problem with this. This is like one of the first times I've seen like plans for floating cities or stuff like that and go, wait a minute. Okay, somebody actually thought about this.
Yeah.
All right. So. Like, okay, I'm cool with this.
Yeah, it's going to happen because, some of these like islands, like Tuvalu and stuff like that, they're going to be underwater soon.
So yeah.
And plenty already have disappeared.
Yeah.
Yep. And yet you still have assholes like James Inhofe saying, no, climate change isn't happening. But anyway. Next up, the big science news of the week. We finally got the very first photographic image of a black hole.
I'll be the Neil deGrasse Tyson and say it's an image, not a photograph.
Yeah, it's an image.
Image is made out of data. Photograph is made out of light, I guess.
Fuck you, it's a photograph.
Well,
actually...
Shut up my show, it's a photograph.
Oh my god.
You can't photograph a black hole.
Yeah, it is. It, yes, to be technically, to be true, yes, it is a data image.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, it had to be recolorized, too, because I'm pretty sure the original was just in black and white.
Yeah, well, it kind of made... It took like 5 petabytes of data to get to that image.
Mm-hmm.
Like 1,000 hard drives.
I think it was quite a bit more than that. I think it was like every hour was like several petabytes.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't they, like if I remember correctly, didn't they legit have to like ship them into NASA by hand?
Something like that.
Probably.
Like by the truckloads?
Yeah.
Yeah, the woman that came up with the algorithm was like taking pictures with like raids of hard drives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of a lot of the work, and this is just like one image that they have. They still haven't gone through all of the data they have because they essentially did over like a 4-day period.
Mm-hmm.
Had all of these telescopes zoomed in on this one area in the galaxy M87.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from a network of telescopes called the Event Horizon Telescope.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they essentially had to bring in all this data and go through it and pull out all the necessary data, kind of put this all together. And obviously, like, some of the early jokes was about, was it Black Hole Sun?
Mm-hmm.
Like that album art.
Yeah. It looks more like the cover to Journey's Eclipse album, actually.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go with everyone else's joke, which is that God decided to goat-say the world.
Yeah.
The universe, and there's a universe sent a text, we showed you our butthole, please respond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, this, it's a pretty cool image.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
basically the first physical evidence that we have that black holes exist. So they're no longer a theoretical thing, they're actual thing, because for the longest time, up until fairly recently, it was debated whether they existed at all.
Yeah,
they were purely theoretical.
Yeah,
yeah, and like the light in it is the light that's being sucked into it.
Yeah,
because black holes are kind of just a crazy concept of a thing.
Mm. Yeah,
yeah. The next thing will be like send a probe to one, see what happens if it goes in.
Basically, it'll be saying bye bye probe.
Yeah, at least we'll get some good images.
Well, I think their next plan is kind of to have higher res telescopes and kind of try to get a higher res image of this whole thing.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because now it's just kind of a blurry-ish image.
Yeah.
Something.
But so the person that most people have been speaking about as far – because obviously this was a team effort of a lot of people having to marshal their efforts into this one event, because it definitely this is not something that is easy to do.
No.
They singled out an individual by the name of Dr. Katie Bowman, a woman who is a computer scientist who got who back in 2016, when she was a PhD student, she actually led the team that developed the algorithm that was used to process all the data to get us that image. And yes, there is that image of her with just some of the hard drives they had to use.
Yep.
And usually a lot of times you'll see it next to the picture of Margaret Hamilton, who was the computer scientist from MIT who made the code that helped put men on the moon.
Yeah.
And of course the code that they had to use that is about as tall as she is. So
yeah.
That's a lot of code.
Mm.
And then, of course, because this was a woman doing something scientific, the internet, of course, reacted exactly as you expected would happen.
Yep.
Yeah. Unfortunately for them, the rest of the internet wasn't having it.
Yeah. Basically, the biggest person behind this particular conspiracy theory is none other than noted internet shitbag Roosh V.
Mm. Yeah.
But she is one of the heroes behind this. So fuck you, you sexist anti-feminist dirtbags.
Yeah.
women's can do science.
Yeah, they seem to forget that not all that long ago, women did most of the science.
Yep.
They also seem to forget that if it weren't for a women scientist, we wouldn't have the fucking computer.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, we wouldn't have gone to the moon.
Yeah. Yep. All these things, you know, they have selective memories.
Are these the same douchebags that say women need to go into STEM, and then when a woman goes into STEM and actually succeeds and does a major scientific advancement, they're like, yeah, women can't do science.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
We have Wi-Fi because of women.
Yeah.
Anyway, the other big science news of the week was that Israel had launched their Bereshit lander, was aiming to be the first private moon lander in history to land on the moon, but it sort of anheroed itself and crashed into it.
By this much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but the little robot couldn't quite make it, crashing into the gray dirt around 3:25 p.m. Eastern Time.
Mm-hmm.
Missed control, lost communication with the spacecraft when it was about 489 feet above the moon's surface. Mm-hmm. And there's a nice picture of it taking a selfie just before it crashed.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the general manager of their space program said, "We had a failure in the spacecraft. We unfortunately have not managed to land successfully. It's a tremendous achievement up until now."
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't let that slow them down or set them back. It's like, hey, mm-hmm. shit happens. Learn from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go back.
I mean, how many tries did it take NASA? Yeah. How many tries did it take the Soviets before Yuri Gagarin was able to get out into space?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I mean, how many times have SpaceX's rockets blown up? So,
mm-hmm.
you know. Failure is always an option.
You know, SpaceX, you know, this type of stuff is, I mean, it really is trial and error.
Yeah, mostly.
I mean, it's very expensive trial and error, but it is trial and error.
Yeah.
Anyway, and now for the next big story we got here. Burger King is testing a meat-free Whopper in St. Louis markets. They're calling it the Impossible Whopper. It is 100% no meat.
Mm-hmm.
It is basically a veggie burger, for all intents and purposes.
Hmm.
And,
well, yeah, I guess. Yeah, soy.
Yeah. Yeah. Designed by the Impossible Food Company.
Mm-hmm.
Who has their Impossible Burger is kind of a thing that's out there. Probably in most places, but in, like, most areas.
Mm-hmm.
At least, like, one or two places, but probably not a ton out there, unless you're in, like, one of the big cities.
Yeah. What's interesting here but is that Burger King plans to go nationwide with this.
I think I would not be surprised if you see McDonald's and, you know, Wendy's and maybe, and, you know, Taco Bell and all the other places following suit.
Yeah.
Because the meat prices are kind of getting expensive now.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they can make a substitute that is as good as the real thing.
Which apparently from everybody that I've like read that who have actually tried them, they say, you can't tell. You literally cannot tell. They got that. The taste and the texture down, and it cooks the same way as meat. And as far
now,
as
here's the question. Is it healthier than a
beef?
Well,
yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit healthier.
Yeah, it's a little bit
healthier. I mean, it is soy, mostly.
Yeah.
Soy protein and... Mm-hmm. You know, that's definitely better for you. If you're, you know, beef, which is red meat, of course, can increase cholesterol and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're working on like for the Impossible Burger, it's like a 2.0 version. Mm-hmm. That's a bit leaner and all that.
Yeah. The 2.0 is what they've got right now.
See, the problem is they need to have enough fat into it to have flavor.
Yeah.
Because fat is what gives food flavor. You know, and if you can't get it through regular fat means, then you have to load it with sugar. And
I don't do that. But
yeah, you don't want to do that because, as scientists have discovered in the last 10 years or so, sugar is one of the primary culprits of the obesity epidemic in the industrialized world.
Well, technically, they found that out like 40 years ago, but
oh yeah,
big sugar shut that down.
Let's just put it this way. There's a whole Adam ruins everything segment on it.
Yeah, but essentially
essentially,
Burger King worked with the Impossible Company and got them to be able to make a Impossible Whopper that tastes just like the regular Whopper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which may not be a good thing.
Yeah, they're fine. But yeah, as for the cost, it's about $1 more than a regular Whopper.
For now.
For now. Mm-hmm. If it ends up overtaking the regular Whopper in popularity, you'll see the opposite happen.
Yeah. Well, that's why Impossible is actually kind of excited about this partnership, because Burger King knows how to scale.
Yeah.
They're just a startup. So this would be good.
Yeah. Let's see. White Castle and Fatburger already have the Impossible Burger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In that one, though, I don't know that I have any of those near me.
Yeah. Well, I when they do bring it nationwide, I'll be happy to be one of the first people to get them. I love meat. I make no buts about it. I have no shame about it, no guilt about it. But I'm also very much aware of the environmental impact that meat production has.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, what is it, pistachios?
Mm. Yeah. Requires I think it's almonds.
Almonds? Yeah, that requires like an incredible amount of water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just to make a small amount.
Yeah.
Mm. But anyway.
Yeah.
So that is all of that part of the news. Now we're going into the entertainment section of the show. All right. Ready?
Yeah.
First things first, we got to do the Star Wars celebration.
Yes, we do.
Because first and foremost, Disney Plus, which of course is Disney's streaming service, is going to be launching this year, November 12th, for $7 a month, or about $70 a year.
Mm-hmm.
I should, of course, say technically $6.99, but that's because
$69, nice.
Because that's the way the bullshit pricing works here in the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to charge me that extra penny, you communist.
Yeah. But anyway, and it's going to have a bunch of Star Wars.
Shit ton of content.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous. Let's see. They're going to have pretty much all the Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
But they're only going to have four in the launch window. It's going to need a lot of charts to figure out what all is going to be there right away eventually. All 30 seasons of The Simpsons is going to be on there. So you can watch the first 10 and be like, yeah, screw the rest.
Yes, I'm done with that.
They are going to have a bunch of new Marvel shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not sure if they have. There's Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
With those actual actors in there. They're going to have...
I'd watch that.
WandaVision, which is the Vision and... Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Their show. What else is there? There's What If, an animated series that will take pivotal moments from the MCU and turn them on their head.
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually know somebody who's a big fan of the What If stuff. So
yeah. My personal favorite What If is the one where Captain America came back in the contemporary era.
Yeah. But then they
did. Is that? Yeah. that's the. For those who don't know, because you know. Who's Captain America? It's Steve Rogers, right?
Right.
But if you know, for a while after World War II, he was not around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was kind of sort of around, but he wasn't really a big deal.
Mm.
He'd gotten overtaken by all the others, and he kind of gotten swallowed up in the Cold War garbage. Mm. And then when Jack Kirby and all the folks at Marvel started up the Avengers, they needed a new a character from the back line bring in, and they got Steve Rogers. And Steve Rogers was frozen in ice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so basically what they did is they retconned it so that the guy who had been who had been Captain America during that time wasn't actually Steve Rogers. It was just some douchebag who really hated commies.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Captain America at the end of that issue gives this amazing speech about how the flag that I wear on my uniform means nothing if the freedoms that it doesn't that it represents don't exist.
Hmm.
You know, all that stuff.
Yeah. Which I think he has said in the movies. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what his, you know, it's It's funny when people take Captain America to be this kind of symbol of jingoism, because he really isn't.
Hmm.
You know, he looks like it, but he's got far more depth than that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, so are there going to be 4 Marvel films that are going to be there at the launch window? Not sure when they're going to have the rest. But I think in the images here, they have Captain Marvel, Black Panther, and Thor Ragnarok as 3 that are mentioned.
Well, that's a good place to start.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of one of the down notes of this whole thing. It's like, if it was available right now and you could have watched the whole MCU before Endgame, that would be really useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they've not made all that stuff accessible, all that accessible.
Mm.
Let's see. They're going to have every single Star Wars and Pixar theatrical film roll out on Disney Plus within the first year. Yeah. Captain Marvel is going to be there at launch. Or at the wait. Yeah, it'll be out in November for that. Yeah, there are going to be some Disney Plus exclusives. There's a National Geographic branded travel series called The World According to Jeff Goldblum. A live action recreation of Lady and the Tramp. Okay. A TV spinoff based on the Toy Story 4 character Forky. And along with
that, I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be plans for a new Star Wars live action series that will bring back Diego Luna and Alan Tudyk's characters from Rogue One. Let's see. Yeah, there's going to be the live action Star Wars series, The Mandalorian. Let's see. There's a bunch of Disney affiliated series based on the Star Wars Clone Wars and Monsters, Inc. There's 4 animated Marvel series, which I thought the link here says it's for Hulu. I don't know. Might also be on there, but yeah, this is going to be largely like a kid-friendly service.
Yeah.
So anything that's not kid-friendly is going to probably go on Hulu.
Yeah. I'm looking at the stuff that they've got here, and as much as I like, am getting a little bit of subscription fatigue, it kind of does look like there's enough here that to justify the cost.
Are they also going to be streaming DuckTales as well?
They're going to have 5,000 episodes of Disney's TV series and 100 of its original movies.
All right. I'm in.
So that's probably in there.
Yeah.
Is this going to be available for PS4?
Probably.
PS4 and Roku are the first platforms. But they also have pictures of everything else that...
And this comes out on... And this comes out on November 12th.
Yeah.
Well, I better set some money aside then.
Yeah, they're going to have 4K and HDR support on all compatible devices. Let's see. Yeah, they're going to have support for browsers.
Mobile devices as well.
Yeah, I think they're going to bundle their digital subscription services, which is Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and Hulu. They're going to have a bundle for that at a discounted price, but they haven't announced anything yet.
Yeah.
It's going to be out in each major region of the world over the next 2 years.
Yeah, well, Canada is among the first. Right. We never get anything first.
Yeah, they conclude with the Simpsons announcement. It's like a little bit where all of the like Disney people showed up, like statues of Darth Vader and Bob Iger. Then Mickey Mouse hats. Then Dumbo drops on Homer.
Yeah. Good.
So there's going to be a shit ton of stuff there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and then the other major story from the Star Wars Celebration news that we won't be talking about on the Day Zero update. We got a teaser trailer for the next major Star Wars movie, the last of the current trilogy, Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker.
Yep, and I didn't watch it. Don't want to watch it. Nope.
Oh, it was good. I mean, it didn't do a lot or say a lot.
Yeah, there's a lightsaber.
Yeah.
There's a TIE fighter.
Oh, okay, yeah. There could be a spoiler at the very end. So, yeah, Phil.
Yeah, a certain character from the last trilogy.
The original trilogy, do you mean?
Yeah. The good trilogy?
Yes.
Yeah. I guess he was in both.
Hmm.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah, there's explosions and cool Williams stuff.
Yeah,
and John Williams. There's always John Williams.
Yeah.
Really, and it's cool. Out this Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and BB-8 has a little friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a robotic hairdryer.
Basically.
They're just throwing everything at the wall now, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to put the hair dryers to work.
Keep. Wait, weren't they in Spaceballs?
Mm. Well, Spaceballs had like the giant hair dryers.
Yeah.
And the giant combs. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the pig. We ain't found shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, from there to the rest of our entertainment part of the show, Netflix has announced the cast for their live-action version of Cowboy Bebop.
Yep, we got John Cho, mm-hmm. who's going to be Spike Spiegel.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, who else do we have? We have Luke Cage actor Mustafa Shakur.
Mm-hmm.
Daniela Pineda, who seems like is going to be, what's her face? The woman.
Mm. Oh, because I haven't seen Cowboy Bebop.
No.
Faye Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Hessel. I don't know.
Mm.
So, yeah, John Cho as Spike Spiegel seems like a good choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when's this coming out? Do we know?
I think later.
Later this year, probably.
No, 2020. Probably like next year, I assume.
Yeah.
So they still don't have the casting down.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Alex Garcia Lopez, who helmed episodes of Daredevil, Luke Cage, and Cloak and Dagger, will direct the first two installments of the 10-episode series.
Mm-hmm.
So I got some good talent in here.
Yeah, I'll watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should watch the anime as well. I'll probably do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before everybody hates me.
Yeah.
That's all okay, right. Phil. I haven't finished it. Don't feel bad.
There's some good stuff there.
Yeah.
Very.
Next up, we got some stuff from Hulu. They have ordered a limited series called The Dropout, starring Kate McKinnon. That is going to be about Elizabeth Holmes.
Yep.
Do we need to remind people who Elizabeth Holmes is?
Is that the Stockholm Syndrome girl?
Theranos. Yeah.
Oh.
The blood testing company.
Yeah.
That she conned people out of so much money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Who am I thinking of? That girl who got kidnapped and stayed for like 20 years.
Yeah, they already did a movie about her.
Yeah.
I think they've done two movies about her. But yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be about
Elizabeth Smart. That's her.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be about 6 to 10 episodes, and it's based on the material that was in the Dropout podcast that ABC News and ABC Radio did.
Yeah.
Which Kate McKinnon seems like she's going to be perfect for that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to know,
I mean, she can play pretty much anybody.
Yeah. She probably has.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying if you want to know more about this story, there's an HBO doc called was it Bad Blood?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. The favorite thing I've read is that she had a husky that she kept claiming was a wolf, named it Balto. Never potty trained it, so it just shit all over the office.
Jesus fuck!
It's like, okay, this is a perfect metaphor for how shitty of a person she is.
Yeah.
Yeah. She lies about what's going on, doesn't bother doing the basics, and just shits all over everything.
Yep.
Seagull manager.
Yeah.
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 But anyway, next up, we got a trailer for The Dead Don't Die, a Starfield film, which includes, just about everybody you can think of. Bill Murray, Adam Driver, Danny Glover, Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
Chloe Sevigny, Rosie Perez, Iggy Pop, the RZA, Selena Gomez, Luke Sabbat, Tom Waits.
Good Lord.
Yeah. And it looks really good.
Yeah.
Hey, it's basically a zombie movie.
Yeah, only a lot funnier.
Yeah, like a zombie movie where the people involved know what zombies are.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like in some of the zombie movies, like, what are zombies?
Yeah,
we have never had fiction involving the undead. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's like they know what zombies are, and they're like okay with it, apparently.
Yeah,
and it has the woman from crap, I forgot the show I was thinking of. It's a Netflix show. Mm. I forget. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's the old woman from there who is the landlord. Mm. And I guess the zombies here talk.
Yeah, talk. They talk. And they like to do the same things that they did when they were alive.
Yeah. That seems pretty good. That's going to be out June 14th.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good movies coming out in the next few months.
Yeah.
It's the I mean, they kind of pack all of it into, you know, the fall winter release, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they've decided to spread it out over these, like, the spring and summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but next up, Netflix released a trailer for Wine Country.
I got 30 seconds into this, and then I was like, nope, I'm out.
I don't know, I'm kind of in. So it's a lot of female comedians who decide to celebrate their friend's 50th birthday and go on a trip to the wine country.
Yeah, I think it's like Martha's Vineyard or something. No, it's Napa.
Napa, sorry.
County. Yeah, it's got Rachel Dretch, Amy Poehler, Anna Gasteyer.
Tina Fey's in it.
Yeah, Emily Spivey, Maya Rudolph. It's a pretty good cast.
Yeah. I mean, I have no doubt that it's going to be pretty good and funny. It's just, yeah, it's not my thing. So.
Yeah, it's a chick flick, basically.
Yeah, like a raunchy chick flick.
Nothing wrong with a raunchy chick flick. No.
There's some really good ones out there.
What kind of movie we're talking about.
Yeah.
And the way that they shoot them and the way that the colors are kind of somehow drab and yet kind of overwarm at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
Think Hallmark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallmark television movie of the week. That kind of thing.
I think the ones I've liked is like Bridesmaids.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just fucking hilarious.
It is.
Especially the one where they get diarrhea.
All right. And now for the three trailers that I think we're probably all the most excited for that happened in the last, well, technically 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
First, we finally got a proper trailer for Disney's live action, quote unquote, remake of The Lion King. Yeah. And it is awesome. God, it was so good.
I don't use this word like lightly, but this trailer was beautiful.
Yeah.
It really was. Yeah. I love how they like recreated a lot of the iconic scenes from the original.
Yeah.
Those are still in there. It looks phenomenal. I can't wait to see this.
Also that crashing orchestral remix of Can You Feel the Love Tonight really helped. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't think anybody realized what that was the song that was playing until like the last third.
Hmm.
Yeah, and then it ends with a nice nod to the
original
In the Jungle Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think it's Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Or Timon and Pumbaa. So.
Yeah. John Oliver plays Zazu.
Yeah.
He nice.
Shows up and doesn't do his voice.
And obviously, Mufasa, his original voice actor, is back.
Yeah.
James Earl Jones, which people are like, oh, this is going to be a sad movie.
Hmm.
Like, I don't know if I want to see him die again.
It's true.
But yeah, they got Donald Glover as Simba. Beyonce is Nala.
Mm-hmm.
Chiwetel Ejiofor is Scar.
Daniel Glover's in this too, isn't he?
Yeah. He's
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover, yeah. All right.
Simba.
Yeah, he's Simba. And it looks good. It looks really good.
Yeah. I know like most like all these characters are CG, but did anybody notice how like incredibly fluid everything was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Actually, I think some of it was CG and some of it might have been I want to say it definitely looked like some of it was like actual footage. Because some of it looked too fluid and too real to not be, but it could be true. It could all be CG. Which
I mean, this is a definite Blu-ray purchase, probably 4K.
Well, it gets to join the Blu-ray I have of the original Lion King.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and that's out July 19th.
Mm-hmm.
says you're
it will make all the money.
Oh yeah.
Just I mean, I saw the trailer. I'm like, yep, I gotta go see this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn it, Mickey, you've done it again.
You and your improperly proportioned ears.
That are always
right.
You know, facing towards you, no matter which way you're facing.
He hears everything.
That's actually, I actually figured that out. That is actually required by Disney, that by Walt Disney himself. That's one of the guidelines for drawing and animating Mickey. He always has to look, if no matter which direction he's looking, his ears always have to be facing the audience.
Yeah. And but, I think that new series is supposed to be on Disney Plus.
Yeah. And the thing is, they even do that for Kingdom Hearts too. Mm-hmm. You never see his ears from the side. It's always looking directly at you.
Yeah.
All right. Next trailer we got a teaser trailer for The Joker. And yep.
It was interesting.
Yeah,
I'll give it that. It's definitely gets my vote for style points.
It's one of the many origin stories people have come up with for the Joker over the years. Yeah. So much so that even the Joker has said that if he wanted to have a history, he'd want it to be multiple choice.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and there's, what is it, The Killing Joke?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of him telling one of his origin stories.
Yeah. And then at the end, he's like, yeah, you know, I could have just been telling you nothing but bullshit. I don't even remember anymore.
Yeah. This is the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which, sure is a Joaquin Phoenix movie.
Yeah, that's definitely Joaquin Phoenix. And I like the approaches that DC is taking with these more recent movies. I think they're onto something.
Yeah. Well, Zack Snyder doesn't run the show anymore, so.
Mm. Yeah. I'm not sure who's directing this.
I said it at the start of the trailer. But,
Yeah, and finally, the last trailer we got and the last story for the night, we got a trailer for Dragon Quest Your Story, a fully animated 3D CG film based on Dragon Quest V. Mm. And it looks amazeballs.
Is this getting localized?
It better.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
The only real jarring thing about this is there's not really much in the way of the Akira Toriyama style to it.
Well, I think that's on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like the series that's been based on that since the beginning.
Yeah.
It's kind of ditching it for this.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, you can't...
Even the slimes look weird.
Yeah, they look a little strange, but yeah, the dragons look, well, like dragons, what you'd expect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope this comes out to the US because I don't want to have to like watch this with subtitles. I hate watching movies with subtitles, practicality reasons.
Yeah, it'll come out here in 2 years after they've translated it all.
Yeah.
All right. Well then, I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks.
A substantial one, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I'd like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can catch us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We will have it linked in the show notes. Also, on top of iTunes, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at Apple Podcasts. Tune in, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, basically any podcast aggregator or any place where casts like this can be downloaded and enjoyed through your ear holes. So, with that, I have been your host with the most, Ryan Perkins, and for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sams, and Chris Sologi, I'd like to say good night and Hakuna Matata, I guess.